How many of us go through life seeing without seeing, hearing without hearing, not giving ourselves to meet the needs of others?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Joseph's dreams, communicated by God, with the revelatory message that he would someday rule over and provide for his family, did not endear him to his brothers. In fact, the scripture says, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." And those are the words of animosity that exuded from his brothers. Here comes this dreamer. And then it says there in Genesis 37 and verse 20, "Come now, let us make plans to slay him." Joseph's dreams, which were communicated to him by God with that revelatory message that someday he would rule over and provide for his family, did not endear him to his brothers. But though Joseph was a dreamer, he was never a schemer. He left the fulfilling of those dreams completely in the hands of his God. He never attempted by human machinations or human manipulative power or by the arm of the flesh to fulfill the substance of those dreams that God had revealed to him. He always lived his life on the basis of that powerful principle of faith. He believed in the mighty power of God to meet his needs and to bring down into materialization that which God had actually revealed to him in those dreams. You know, faith has been defined by someone as living without scheming. Now, that's not a very theological definition, but I think it's a very practical one. And I think, basically, it's a very biblical one. Faith is living without scheming, without utilizing the arm of the flesh to bring into existence the will of God, but trusting God and His mighty power to bring to pass His will in our lives. And that's the kind of man that Joseph was. Joseph was called upon to face three powerful tests, and he passed every one of them. The passing of those tests constituted Joseph as a mighty man of God. And as we discern the significance of those tests and how they apply to us, we can follow his example and become men and women of God as well. The first is the test of adversity. And that is found in Genesis chapter 37 and also in the 39th chapter in verses 1 to 6. We'll look at it in just a moment. First was the test of adversity. The second is the test of allurement. As Joseph was seduced by an amoral Mrs. Potiphar. And it's found in Genesis 39, verses 7 to 23. That's a very delicate issue, and it needs to be dealt with very discreetly. But may I say, it needs to be dealt with in our day and age. And there's a powerful, seductive, and sensual influence that invades the lives of every one of us. It's omnipresent in this culture. It's a godless, wicked, unbiblical emphasis. And it has its attraction even for the man of God. And the man of God must be thoroughly equipped to deal with that kind of temptation. Joseph was. We'll learn something from that. We'll learn five reasons why that was such a powerful temptation. And then we'll learn three reasons why David failed in it and four reasons why Joseph succeeded in it. We'll look at that. Test of allurement. And then the last test that Joseph faced so successfully was the test of advancement. That is, he was promoted. He was advanced to a position of tremendous power and authority and influence. And it's a very significant insight into the character of a man is how he deals with advancement and how he deals with authority and how he deals with power and influence. And there were two powerful temptations that presented themselves to Joseph as he was advanced. One was the temptation to arrogance or pride. The other was the temptation to animosity or bitterness. Joseph had some scores to settle in Egypt and even some scores to settle in his family. But there is no record that he ever used that power and authority that God gave to him to settle those scores. He was a rich man of God. Now, first of all, let's look at this subject, the test of adversity. What is adversity? Adversity is hostile circumstances invading our lives, difficulty, sorrow, hardship invading our lives. Many of God's people on significant and many occasions are subjected to powerful influence of adversity. We need to learn how to deal with it. Adversity can be our greatest motivation for spiritual growth, or it can be our deadliest means of discouragement. You know what the difference is? The difference depends on whether or not we understand God's purposes in adversity. Now, Joseph faced his adversities. You know, Joseph, by the way, did not equate God's blessing with creaturely comforts. Too many of us do. He did not equate God's blessing with creaturely comforts. He knew that it costs to be a Christian. He knew that it costs to be a believer, and he was willing to pay the price. There were three ways in which Joseph faced adversity. One, he was scorned by his brothers. So the scripture says they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Genesis 37:4. They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Genesis 37:5-8. Joseph's dreams and words, what were they? What were those dreams and words of Joseph? You know what they were? They were the revelation of God. They were the mind of God. They were the authoritative word of God. Because he was loyal to the word of God, he was scorned by his brothers. They rejected God's word. It's a hard thing to be hated for only announcing and proclaiming and sharing and living and believing in the message of God's truth. It is a hard thing. Joseph learned to be hated for nothing other than announcing and living the truth. It's a harder thing to be hated and misunderstood by those who are closest to you, his brothers. But it's a price many dear servants of the Lord have been called upon to pay. Joseph learned it. Joseph was scorned by his brothers, and he was sold by his brothers. If you were to read Genesis 37:23-28, you would see the negotiation for the sale of Joseph. You would see in that context that there is a certain unmistakable heartlessness in the behavior of Joseph's brothers. Their smoldering discontent, their envy and hatred has moved from the inside to the outside. My friends, that's the way it always is. Thought is transmuted into action, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. And the scripture says, keep thy heart with all diligence, guard it, for out of it are the issues of life. If there is bitterness in my heart, it will emanate in my life. If there is sensuality in my heart, it will emanate in my life. If there is greed in my heart, it will be transmuted into action. It will emanate in my life. And that's what happened here. They hated their brother, they scorned him, and then they sold him. They stopped short of slaying him, but they enslaved him. And they did it while they enjoyed a meal, Genesis 37:25. They sat down to eat bread. And they did it while they bartered for personal gain. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. But you know, Joseph's brothers learned the hard way. There are some lessons, there are some deals that are too expensive for the soul to permit. The moral, the sense of sin, nevertheless, this sense of sin, this sense of evil never left their moral consciousness. All through the years, and many years later, they would say, we are guilty. Not we were guilty, we are guilty concerning our brother that we saw the anguish of his soul. And we would not hear him. Genesis 42 in verse 21. Do you know there are only three kinds of people in the world? Now, it relates to what I'm saying here. There are only three kinds of people in the world, and every one of them might be represented in this audience listening to my voice over the radio. And it isn't very hard to figure out which kind Joseph's brothers were. There are only three kinds of people in the world: those who beat others up, those who pass others up, and those who help others up. Those who beat others up are sadistic. They enjoy hurting others and defiling what is good. Those who pass others up are selfistic. They're so preoccupied with themselves, they have no time for others. Those who help others up are sympathetic. They hurt with those who are hurting, and they give them themselves to relieve that hurt. I want you to know that's a perfectly biblical illustration. You find all three of those in our Lord's parable of the Good Samaritan. Those who beat others up are the thieves. Those who pass others up are the self-righteous Levite and priest, who saw without seeing a man in need, who heard without hearing his anguished cries. How many of us go through life seeing without seeing, hearing without hearing, seeing with the naked eye but not seeing in the heart, hearing with the naked ear but not hearing in the heart, not giving ourselves to meet the needs of others? And then there are those who help others up, like that Good Samaritan who came and met the need of that individual. Now, there's a third way in which Joseph suffered adversity. He was scorned by his brothers. He was sold by his brothers. He was subjugated by his owner. That's Genesis 39, verses 1 to 6. To subjugate means to conquer or subdue. It means to render to the level of servitude. It means to become a slave. In the ancient world, a slave had no rights, no right of marriage, but there was cohabitation. And where children were born of that cohabitation, even the children did not belong to that couple, but to the master. In the ancient world, a slave was a piece of property, like a hoe or a plow or a piece of furniture or a piece of clothing. You discarded it when you want to get rid of it. There were no rights. That was the subjection which Joseph experienced on this occasion. He was nothing more and nothing less than an idol-worshipping Egyptian. He had been hated by his brothers. He had been betrayed by his brothers. And he became the slave of an idol-worshipping Egyptian. But you know, when you look in the narrative, you look in vain for a breath of bitter invectives. You only find boundless industry. Joseph was a slave. You know what he purposed? I'll be the best slave in Egypt. And that's what he became. Joseph knew millenniums ahead of time the eternal principle that is incorporated by Paul into the scriptures in Romans 8 and verse 28. God has some wise, benevolent purpose in what he's allowed to happen to me in this adversity. Not for Joseph was the long face, the sullen look, the resentful air. Not for him were the senseless criticisms of fate and long-wasted hours plotting revenge. Not for him the futile cursing of God, the growing cancer and burning desire to get even. You never see it in Joseph. Joseph was learning that before he could be entrusted with life's advancements, he must be instructed by life's adversities. He was learning the ways of God. Before honor comes humility. Before prosperity comes poverty. Before joy comes sorrow. Before exaltation comes humiliation. Before resurrection comes death. When a man has learned what Joseph learned, he's taken a giant stride toward a meaningful life and a multiplied ministry. Joseph was subjected to the test of adversity, and he passed it summa cum laude.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.